The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent is from Isaiah chapter 43. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, a people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 3. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter. Jesus began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants, and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants, so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him, sent him away empty-handed. And he sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully, and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him, so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants. Give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? Stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them, but they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him up to the authority and jurisdiction of the governor. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. The Lenten Responsory, page 222. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is put away. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the evil.
May be seated. In the name of Jesus, the suffering servant, amen. During this Lenten season, grace, mercy, and peace to you be in Christ Jesus, crucified for us, unto everlasting life for you and for me. Amen. Dear beloved in Christ, as we are drawing near to Palm Sunday and the Sunday of the Passion next Sunday, Jesus is preparing us for Holy Week. The words that Jesus speaks today give us three pictures, and I want you to remember these pictures today: the vineyard, the cornerstone, and the cross. Meditate on these as they describe the life of Jesus, but also your place in Jesus' vineyard, your life standing upon Jesus, the cornerstone, and your life in Christ, who carried his cross for us. It was Tuesday of Holy Week. On Palm Sunday, Jesus had entered into Jerusalem to the hosannas upon the donkey. On Monday, he cleansed the temple and drove out the money changers and drove out the animals from the temple courts. And on Tuesday and Wednesday, as he taught in the temple courts, he is speaking autobiographically about himself, about what's to happen to him in 2 short days later. And so as we look at the parable of the vineyard and the tenants and the owner's sons, Jesus is the son of the owner of the vineyard. He was the one killed outside the vineyard, outside the gates of Jerusalem on the cross. And he is now the cornerstone of the building of God, the holy church of which you and I are a part. So, as we draw closer to Palm Sunday and the Sunday of the Passion next week, when we will hear the description and procession of Christ with the palms, and also hear the crucifixion account, let us look at the vineyard and the cornerstone and the cross. We begin with the vineyard, the parable of the vineyard. The man who owned the vineyard, of course, is God the Father, who's in a country far away that is in heaven for a very long time. The vineyard is the nation of Israel that God had planted, from whom would come the Messiah, and they were to bear witness to God to all the nations. The tenants taking care of the vineyard are the people of Israel, the Jews, who were entrusted with the prophets and the Ten Commandments and the covenants. The fruit of the vineyard, grapes, is repentance, faith, and obedience to this Lord who had planted them in the vineyard and desired fruit from the vineyard. And the servants that were sent all through history were the Old Testament prophets, whether it was Moses, or Isaiah, or Jeremiah, or Amos, or Nahum, or Malachi. They were sent to the people of Israel. They were the ones who were sent into the vineyard. God had sent the prophets that Jesus describes
What did they do to these prophets throughout the whole history of the Old Testament? Not only did they give them no fruit, they beat them, that is the prophets, sent them away empty-handed with no grapes, treated them shamefully, wounded them, and cast them out. So here come the servants of the owner, and they treat them shamefully. And the owner said, I know what I will do. I will send my beloved son. Surely they will respect him. And this, of course, is Jesus. The Father is going to send his son, the heir, who has the inheritance, to come into the vineyard. But when he does send his son, we know what happened, because we know the events of Holy Week. They throw him out of the vineyard and kill him. This is a picture of taking Jesus, throwing him outside the walls of Jerusalem by the garbage dump, and crucifying him and killing him. They threw him out. The owner of the vineyard is angry. What is he going to do? He's going to destroy those evildoers and give the vineyard to others. Meaning, if they're going to reject the son and the heir, then he will give the vineyard out also to the Gentile nations, of which the Jews were aghast to think of that. But he is foretelling that after Christ was thrown out and crucified, the Lord intended the vineyard to be a new thing, filled with the chosen people of all nations. As Isaiah said this morning, I'm going to do a new thing, forming the chosen people who will declare my praise. And we know the rest of the story. The church now was broadcast and taken to all the Gentile nations, which includes you and me. And now the vineyard, this new thing he is doing, that the Christ who was thrown outside the vineyard and died in our place for our justification, desires to bring us who were Gentiles into his vineyard to bear fruit of repentance and faith and obedience, to bear fruit in the vineyard, to be his chosen people through Jesus the Son, who came into his Father's vineyard. Now, obviously, this is not a very positive picture for the Jews. But again, Jesus is speaking autobiographically about what is going to begin to happen to him in 2 short days, beginning on Maundy Thursday. But there's more to this picture. Jesus now gives us another picture. There's the picture of the vineyard. The next picture is the picture of a cornerstone, like a stone in the corner of a building. So now Jesus moves to a different image. He looked directly at them and said, what is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. The stone the builders rejected is Jesus. In Jesus' day, when the builders were looking for stones to put in a building, if they found one that was broken that they didn't like, they would throw it off to the side in a big heap with discarded stones and continue to build. Jesus is giving this picture. The builders were building and they threw the stone to the side, but then God came down and took one of those discarded stones, which is Jesus, picked it up and built it into the cornerstone of the building of God. That which they rejected, God came and turned it into the cornerstone of the whole building. This is the marvelous thing that God has done. That when he came to earth, he came bearing a cross, not a crown of glory. When he came to suffer and be rejected in our place. And his glory will come at the last day. But during Holy Week, as we draw near to Palm Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday, we see literally exactly what they did to Jesus, rejecting that stone and casting it into the pile of rocks. No one has been rejected and suffered, and no one knows grief like Jesus, as we just sang in the beautiful hymn, My Song is Love Unknown. Jesus is cast aside into the pile of rocks by all the plots to kill him. He was arrested, and his wrists were tied together, and he was betrayed and denied. They scourged his back. They crowned him with thorns. They spit in his face, and they hit him with a rod. They mocked him and made fun of him. And then they crucified him with nails, a spear that pierced him. He was despised by those who walked by. And then, as it says in Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Was rejected even by God the Father, who turned his back on him, so that Jesus experienced the wrath of God and the hell that we deserved fell upon Christ. Such is his love, to take that punishment upon himself, to wear a purple robe for you and for me. You see, this rejected stone, because we know the rest of the story, became the cornerstone of the church, because on the third day, Jesus was raised to life. 40 days later, he ascended to the right hand of God and sits on the crown of glory. And we are awaiting his second coming, when he will come with the trumpet call of God and return upon the clouds with his eternal kingdom and glory. That is the cornerstone that was rejected, but has now become the cornerstone of the church and of your life and my life. Think of the cornerstone of a church. We have several cornerstones around our building. Often a Bible verse is put upon it, and it kind of is at the corner of a building, kind of directs all the other angles of the building. That's Jesus. Jesus is the cornerstone upon which our life in the church is built, and upon which your life is built. Just imagine if you didn't have Jesus as your cornerstone. Just imagine if your life was built on the shifting sands of this world. Nothing would be certain. You would not know who God is. You would not know whether there's life after death. You would not know if your sins were forgiven. You wouldn't even know who you are. Your whole life, you'd be trying to figure out, who am I? This is the fate of the unbelieving world. They build their lives on sand. Not only do people know no more what life is or what marriage is, they don't even know who they are. They're lost. But that's not true for you and for me. We know exactly who we are in Christ Jesus, sinners and saints at the same time. Yes, we confess our sins each and every week because we still have our old Adam. But because of Christ the cornerstone, and because we are baptized into his death and his resurrection, we are also new man. We are saints in Christ who build our lives upon Christ alone. Now you notice in this picture Jesus gives us of the cornerstone, there's three different things that can happen with a stone. First of all, if a stone is sitting on the roadway, people fall and trip over it. This is when Jesus is a stumbling stone. The unbelieving world does not believe in Jesus. They hate Jesus. They don't want to hear what he has to say. So for an unbeliever walking along the road, they hit the stone. They fall over and hit the ground and curse the stone. And the stone has become a stumbling block to them. The problem is not the stone. The problem is them. They stumble over that. The second picture is being crushed by that rock. On Judgment Day, when the nations are gathered before him, the goats on the left, those who will not believe, are crushed by the stone in judgment, eternal judgment that knows no end. They will be crushed by this rock. They refuse to believe in him. They spit on him, and Jesus will say, I never knew you. But the third option, of course, is the reality of our life. People who build their lives on the cornerstone, which is Christ. We sang in the opening hymn, Christ is our cornerstone. We sing the hymn, "Build on the rock, the church doth stand." The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord, as we sang as we leave today. And as we sang in "My Song is Love Unknown," first they cry Hosanna, then they cry Crucify. But this is our friend, our Redeemer, and our cornerstone. You build your life on the cornerstone by the fact that you're sitting in the pews this morning hearing the Word of God. That you read and study God's Word. That you have your children in Sunday school and you are here for Bible class to study about this cornerstone. That you read your devotions and study the Word of God at home, basing your life on the cornerstone. You were baptized with water and word into this stone, this cornerstone. And, and through the word of absolution and the gift of Holy Communion, you are fed by Christ, who gives you his body and blood, so your life is built on the chief cornerstone. This is why we encourage you to frequent attendance at the divine service to receive his gifts. In your vocation, at home, at work, and in this church, use your life to serve Christ, because it's built upon the rock that will always be there, upon which you will stand solid. As the little children sing, the wise man builds his house upon the rock. And the rains came down, and the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm and strong. We thank those of you who serve also on the boards and councils of this church, doing your part in this congregation, church, and school, and campus ministry, so that we all together can remain firm on that cornerstone. The vineyard, the cornerstone, and the last picture, of course, is the cross as Holy Week approaches. The cross of Jesus is coming, and the scribes and the chief priests have it all planned. At that very hour, they sought to lay hands on him because they perceived that this parable had been told about them. So they fear the people, but they're watching him and send spies to catch Jesus in his word. They want to deliver him to the governor's jurisdiction. We know that is exactly what they did. They delivered Jesus to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, because only he had the right of capital punishment. And we know, as we look at Holy Week, he was crucified and he was killed. But little did they realize that through this cross and through that death, Jesus defeated death. Little did they realize that the one dying there was dying for them, even those who pierced him. Little did they realize that the one who was dying and forgave them even from the cross came so that his righteousness would be credited to them. And so that through Christ's death and burial and resurrection and through the cross, they and we would have life now and in eternity. The cross and the Christian life and the righteousness that we have was beautifully described by Paul in Philippians 3 this morning. Now he says in Christ Jesus, we have a righteousness that is from God, that is found in him through faith in Christ, not by works of the law. Do you know how comforting that is? God gives you Christ's righteousness as a gift through faith. When you believe that Christ is the atoning sacrifice for your sins, through faith, Christ's righteousness is credited to your account. This is why you can't earn it. It's given to you because you believe that God the Father has declared you righteous, has given you the righteousness of Christ through his death and his atoning sacrifice on the cross. It is given to you because of the suffering and death and resurrection. Christ Jesus has made you his own. This is exactly the opposite of the way that most people think. Most people think that their righteousness is going to come through works of the law that they do, not realizing because we are utterly corrupt and sinful, we have no righteous, zip, zero, nada, none. Christ has complete righteousness, And when that's put into your bank account, if you will, the eternal bank account of your spiritual life, the righteousness of Christ is your greatest treasure. Through him you are accounted righteous. You have a righteousness from God. Let me ask you something. If the Lord gives you his righteousness, can anybody take it away from you? No, never. This is why Paul says, forget what lies behind, strain forward to what lies ahead. Press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, whatever's been in your past, put it behind you. Don't let it define you. Don't be depressed about it. Don't worry about it. The past is the past. Stretch forward to what lies ahead, because guess what? You have an upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You have an upward call now through faith in him now. You have an upward call to the life that is in heaven forever. That is what you've been called to. So my friends, though the unbelieving world rejects Christ, falls upon him, and will be crushed by him, for we who believe, he is the cornerstone upon which we build our lives in his blessed word and sacrament. Be here next week for Palm Sunday, the Palms and Hosanna, and the Sunday of the Passion as we prepare our hearts to celebrate Holy Week, the most important week in all of history. Be here with your children for all of these services, and remembering today the vineyard, and the cornerstone, and the cross. Rejoice in the righteousness that has been given to you by God the Father, and build your life not upon the sand of this world, but through the cross of Christ. Build your life now and forever on the cornerstone that is Christ the Lord. To that cornerstone be all glory forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.